Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 979. This is your host, Danny, podcasting live from New York City to the world. Where are you from? Where you're listening from? Let us know. Hit us up, fanmail at gamertagradio.com. That's fanmail at gamertagradio.com. And let us know where you're from, man, because I love hearing from our listeners from all around the world. And yes, it's getting a little bit cold over here in New York, slowly. And I heard we might be getting some snow in the future, so very, very soon. So we'll see what happens from now to the next episode of Gamertag Radio. Hopefully, I'll give you some updates from here, from the city. All right, so this episode, it's all about daily conversations. Had a 41-minute conversation with Paris, and we talked about a couple of things. But I did mention about my experience going to the Death Stranding exhibit event that's here in New York City. Kojima's here, Jeff Keighley's here, bunch of people. So yesterday they had a private event where it was only like media, celebs, friends from the industry that were just all there. And today was open to the public. So I went there first opening 2:30. I was there from 2:30 to 3-ish around there. And I talked about that, my experience, got to see a couple people locally from New York at the event. So I'm going to be talking about that with Paris. Make sure to tune in for that. Also, Need for Speed Heat, which is also now out for Xbox, PlayStation 4, and also PC. I talked about my experience about that game because I got it thanks to EA Game Changers, man. So shout out to EA for providing the code. And I talked about that. Why this game reminds me of Dying Light. I talked about that with Paris. Stay tuned. And of course, EXO and a bunch of other topics only here on Gamertag Radio. Make sure to tune in, listen to it. And look, we want to continue with fan mail. So if you're listening and you haven't ever sent a question to us, ever, because we have Keon, we have a bunch of other people that send us voicemails all the time. But you, the listener, that have never called, you don't even have to send a voicemail. You can send us an email. fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or you could call us 786-273-7GTR. You could leave a message through there, or to make it easier for people listening to us internationally, worldwide, from other places around the world, go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. That's speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. If you're completely lost by all of this, just if you're listening to this using a podcast app, just scroll down, check out the description of this episode. I have all the links there. I have the links for that, how to donate, where you can watch the Gamertag Radio documentary, which is also there, Gamertag Radio podcast story. So everything is there because I get a lot of emails and people hit me up on social media asking like, where's the number, how they could call. It's every episode, I always put all the information there, man. So there you have it. All right, so we're going to go now straight to the daily conversation with Paris and I. So we'll be right back after this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Paris? You're busy?
Nah, I'm walking to my office right now.
Oh.
What is up?
You going to your secret dungeon?
Nah, it's not a secret.
Oh, well, okay. Just saying. By the way, I just got back from downtown. I was checking out Death Stranding. They had like an exhibit there. Interesting. It was very interesting. Very small. I got there like around 2:15. I thought the line was going to be long, and it wasn't that long.
Right, and so it was like a public thing.
Just yeah, could go? Public. Yeah, yeah. So you because I saw Jeff Keighley just tweeted like a link for you to RSVP. I'm like, you know what? I'm in New York. Let me check it out. I've never been to an event like this. Let me check it out. So I did that, and I just showed up, showed my barcode. I got to see, you know, people from locally from New York City, and got in. And in the beginning, once you go in, you're in this white room, and right in the beginning, in the middle of that room, it's all white, complete white, and the doors is closed. Once you're in, it's like the logo of the Kojima's studio. So you can take pictures. They were recording videos. And once you're done, then you go inside and you'll see like pictures of like concept arts. You can listen to the music of the game. They have like videos of like the team working on the game. You see how motion capture. You see like the outfit that they were wearing, like the different actors. And there was an area where you weren't allowed to take pictures because it was Kojima with like bunch of like well-known people, either celebrities. Of course, Jeff Keighley was in that little section too. But it was cool. And there was one section where you could also test out with like a digital mixer, the special effects and the dialogues. Like you can mess around with it and you just put your headphones on, you listen to it like how it sounds like. So you hear either like the sound effect of somebody walking, right? And then let's say you want to put the volume up of the dialogue, then you hear people talking, blah, 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 you know. So it was cool. It was like a very cool experience. And they have like a stage there. You could take pictures. Right. And it was cool. I think it was a good thing, especially if you're into that type of game. Like for me, I'm not going to buy the game or anything like that, but I was just curious to attend. And it was cool. I think companies should do that more in the future, man. Like to promote their games. And then once you get out, there was like a store where you could buy t-shirts, hoodies, bunch of stuff there. So it was cool. I liked it. It was fun.
You know, no, that's all cool, man. But, you know, just like from the podcast we did with Khalif, just talking about the game, yo, I'm going to be so curious to see what the average everyday gamer thinks of Death Stranding when they have it in their hands. Because I'm telling you, I just think it's going to be so polarizing. And I think it's had so much marketing and hype for it over the years that, you know, I think it's inevitable that it's going to let some people down, and that at the same time, it's going to exceed expectations for some other people. I would say this to me is probably like BioShock Infinite as far as just the hype and the marketing and the anticipation for what it was going to be. Now, that game obviously lived up to expectations for me, but I know there was a lot of other people that were completely let down by it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think Death Stranding is going to have a similar thing. So just I fully expect impressions to just be all over the map.
Yeah, I agree. And look, man, that's one thing I noticed when I went to the exhibit. Right in the introduction, right before you go into like the official exhibit, not the introduction part, but when we got in, went to that white room, and we saw the statue of the logo of the studio. By the way, the flag was like autographed by Kojima. So I was there, and one of the staff like, hey, can you give a shout out to Kojima? Like, because we're recording on video, man. Everybody was just like, Kojima, I can't wait, man. It's your first official game after Konami. Oh, man, this is like, yo, everybody's like really super excited for it, man. So I'm like, hey, you know what? Like, I get it. You know, these people are just fans of his work. Hey, man, more power to them, man, you know? And another thing, too, right when I got out the room, there's another section where it's like all badges that Kojima has been collecting, where he either showed a trailer or he was there like to promote the game. You get to see all the badges there, man. So it's like PlayStation, E3, stuff from like international conferences, all that stuff, man. So I was like, oh, that's cool. I took like a little clip of that. posted like on social media and everything. So it was cool. Yeah, but yeah, you're right,
Pat. I saw what you posted. But yeah. Like you're about to say, yeah, dude, it's gonna be such an interesting game, man. I can't wait to see it.
And the one thing I do have to give him props is that the mainstream casual audience, Paris, that just got to see this on different, you know, on different like shows, like late night shows, or maybe they just saw like their one of their favorite actors. Now they're like, oh man, I'm gonna buy this game. This is cool. This is like a movie. I'm definitely gonna see a lot of those people, man, buying this game too because of that. Just because it's more mainstream, like a mainstream audience, you know. So yeah, that's gonna happen. So, by the way, I downloaded Need for Speed Heat, which came out a day ago. And I have to say this, Paris, like, I don't know what EA is, like, thinking. Why would they release this game and then right after that, Jedi, the Star Wars game, back-to-back? I find that just strange, man.
I almost feel like the Need for Speed Heat thing is just hey, let's just go ahead and get it out thing. Just get it out. Be done. I don't think they have any realistic expectation for this game to be a super hit because where's the marketing been for it? I didn't realize it was coming out.
Me neither. You know how I found out about it? Because an agency invited me to attend like a launch party in Miami. But I'm like, hey, look, I moved to New York. I can't attend. And I had zero idea that game was coming out. Yeah. But I actually played the game and it's not a bad game. It's decent. It's like a decent Need for Speed game. Very different. It has this like Dying Light type of vibe. Whereas you could race during the day, which you could collect money. And with that money, when you do races and all that, it will help you to buy. You could upgrade your cars and you could buy stuff, right? And you could race at night, but now at night is very challenging because this is where you get red points. Not only that, cops are going to be following you, actually chasing you at night. And at night is more challenging. And I think that's when it's like, okay, this is Need for Speed at night. So that's why I mentioned that this game kind of reminds me of like Dying Light, but it's not that bad game, man. I've been playing for like 5 hours now, 6 hours.
Right.
I'm enjoying it. It's not that bad.
Yeah, but where would you put it in comparison to, you know, like obviously we've seen recently with Forza Horizon or even something like what they're doing with Gran Turismo. I mean, is it, or no, even better, like Project Cars and stuff like that.
Yeah,
More recent racing games that are coming out. That's what I mean. The fact that, you know, I'm sure it's a decent game, don't get me wrong, but you know, clearly EA isn't expecting much from it because they're just not even talking about it. Like you said, that one event that happened, what was it, Miami?
Miami.
It seemed like it just came out of nowhere. It's like, poof, all of a sudden they got an event. Yeah. I'm like, where'd that come from?
So at the event, they had the developers of the game. They had some, like, artists performing there too and so on. And I don't know, man. I just feel like instead of doing an event like that in Miami, because the game takes place in this city that's called Palm City, but it has a Miami vibe. You could tell it's Miami. So when you're driving around, all you hear is like reggaeton music, like Spanish music here and there and all that. So I'm like, the game is not that bad. It's okay. I just feel bad that this just comes out of nowhere in November, which one of the EA's biggest games of this year comes out very soon in a couple days. So what is the point of releasing this back-to-back games? Like, they did the same exact mistake, Paris, with Titanfall 2. Same exact thing.
Well, I think it's different this time, whereas Battlefield and Titanfall 2 both had high expectations on it, and it made absolutely no sense that they would put them out together. Again, I don't think they got any expectation for Need for Speed. I think it's all about Jedi Fallen Order. So,
of course. Yeah, you know they invested more money on that, and they have that marketing deal with Xbox. So they're like really pushing this, man. And there is a leak that just came out for Black Friday, where you could buy Xbox One S and Star Wars, the new Star Wars game, for $199. It's like a bundle. So
speaking of Xbox hardware bundles and all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
Did you know, and I need to see what the latest hardware numbers is, but it's looking like by the time we get to the end of this generation next year,
mm-hmm.
you know that Xbox hardware is going to be in third place. Like the Switch is going to outsell it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even surprised about that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's surprising.
It's just surprising. Like when you think in the grand scheme of things, though, mm-hmm. it's like 2013, since 2013, Switch came out, what, 2017?
Yeah. Is that right? 2017, yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, in less than half the time, it's going to outsell Xbox hardware.
I'll tell you why. It's not about power, it's about content. You don't have the games.
100%. That's what I was going to say.
You don't have the games. Who gives a crap about power, man? Now, the difference is that in next generation, Microsoft still are going to be selling this, the SKU that they have now, the S, the X, because we can still play next gen games with those old consoles. So that's good. So they're still going to continue with that, you know. And if you want to buy the new Project Scarlet in the future, that's good too, you know. So, but put it this way, Nintendo is so comfortable right now, super super comfortable, that I just saw their Black Friday thing that they have for this year, Paris, is the same exact thing as last year. Bundle with Mario Kart, $199.
Yeah.
they're like, we're not changing this. We're making money. Like, why are we going to change this?
Yeah, we're not giving you any of these good games. You
no.
Separately.
You buy. We're going to give you an old game, which a lot of people like, and you're going to buy it, and that's it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with it. And the funny thing is, next year, they're going to have the original Switch, mm-hmm. Switch Lite, and they're going to have the Pro. And they're still going to be selling. They're going to have basically a SKU for everybody. They're going to have the Lite for people that's the budget SKU. You just play mobile. You never play it on the TV. There you go. All right, you want the regular Switch. It'll be discounted then. You can still hook it to your TV. There you go. But if you're the hardcore gamer, better battery life, you know, better screen, all that stuff, probably can play in 4K or something on your TV. That'll be the Pro. That'll be for the hardcore gamers. And they'll charge you $300, $400 for that. And we're dumb enough, we'll go buy that too.
Yep. And by the way, I have to make a correction. It's not $199. It's actually $299. So Nintendo's saying, F you, you're going to buy it no matter what.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Yo, because I follow Wario64, right? And he posted, left Black Friday 2018. It's a Switch with the color one with Mario Kart Deluxe 8, $299. And then, all right, Black Friday 2019, same exact thing. The only difference is the Nintendo Switch is black. And then he wrote, "Thanks, Nintendo," with a question mark.
Yeah.
Insane, dude. Insane. But yeah, man. Also, XO is next week, man. You're expecting anything big, or you think it's going to be, you know, maybe one studio acquisition, man, or, you know, something, or maybe a major tease for next gen? I mean, I don't know. Like, anything, Paris? You don't think so?
I'm honestly not expecting too much from this. I mean, because everything's about next year, so you're not going to really give up too much. I mean, you know, there's the, and I'm forgetting the name of the studio, but the ex Banjo-Kazooie developers that started another studio that have been making the ukulele games.
Yeah.
There's that rumor that either they're Microsoft's acquiring the studio outright, or they're going to be put on next-gen Banjo. Maybe something comes out of that, because I guarantee there's going to be some kind of collaboration with Nintendo on that, or show up on the Switch. All like I said, maybe they say something about that.
I think that rumor got shut down about making making a new Banjo-Kazooie. I mean, it is time, man. Look, man,
it's been 10 years.
Yes. Not only that, Paris, it created a buzz just adding that character to Smash. By the way, By the way, Paris, I was in shock when I saw this news. Again, Nintendo is super comfortable. Super comfortable. They don't need to do much. Do you know that Smash Brothers Ultimate surpassed, now is like the all time, hold up, I'm going to give you the exact quote. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate has officially surpassed Street Fighter 2 as the best selling game of all time. Holy smokes. That is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's not surprising either.
No, it's not. It's not. It's just like that. Remember what we were talking about in the beginning? That Nintendo Switch, it looks like it's about to surpass Xbox. It's because of content, man. And the loyal fans, they'll buy it all the time, man.
So many banging games. It's like I'm seeing everybody and their mom saying how good Luigi is. And it's just like, I'm like, I don't have the cycles. As much as I want to go play it, I'm like, I'll just do it. I'll do it down the road. I'm not going to try to fit it in right now. And I know it's good. I know it's a good game. Like here's how good Nintendo is right now.
Mm-hmm.
You could, if someone told you, you could only pick once, like you had no choice. You could only pick one system that you could play for a year for the games. Without hesitation, I'm picking the Switch right now.
Same here.
Without hesitation, because they got enough third-party support that, okay, sure, it's like you said, it's not in 4K and all this stuff, but dude, the freaking Witcher is on there now, okay, as an example, right?
Yeah.
So they got amazing third-party games on there, and you know I've been saying this for years at this point. Nintendo, hands down, is the best game developer in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Their original games alone are worth picking up their system for. You know, and just look at the library. Just look at the library games that you can get. Now they got the virtual arcade stuff on there. You can play the old stuff. Hands down, Nintendo. Hands down. And there's no way I thought I would have been saying that 3 years ago. No way.
A lot of people were sleeping on it. A lot of people were like, because of the results, what happened with the Wii U especially.
Yep.
So people are like, it's a wait and see. We'll see what happens.
Yep.
Now I'm going to give you a couple things that I'm reading here. Because I'm browsing, went to Reddit, and Phil Spencer is happy with Gears 5 and the Outer Worlds results. Like, it's doing pretty good. He's very happy with it, man. So that's good. He just replied to someone on Twitter. You know, he's always active on Twitter. So somebody took a screenshot of that conversation, and he's like, yo, they're both looking good. He's very, very happy how both games are doing on console and PC. Or if people are just either getting from Xbox Game Pass or just buying it. So, yeah, really good, man. And another thing, too, about Obsidian, speaking about the Outer Worlds, Obsidian is confirmed to be attending XO19. But nobody knows what exactly they're going to be doing over there unless they are just going to, like, maybe show some new content. What's up?
I was just going to say, could they be announcing future content for the Outer Worlds?
Could be.
You'll see.
I'm ready for that.
See, because I'm really curious how that's going to work. Because obviously 2K Private Division was the original publisher.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft obviously honored that for the Outer Worlds, even after they purchased them. So Private Division was still able to publish the game, put it out. We know a Switch version is coming out. That is probably going to be under Private Division as well. Mm-hmm. But the game is on Game Pass. You can play it on Xbox. You can play it on PC that way. You don't even have to go to the Epic Store if you don't want to. So with future DLC, is that still going to be Private Division doing it? Or does now Microsoft take over with that? Now, I would imagine even if Microsoft takes over the publishing of DLC, they're still going to put it out on all the platforms. Like, there'll still be an Epic Store version. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It'll still be on the Switch and all that. They're going to honor all that for that particular game. But, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I would imagine with the Outer Worlds being a Game of the Year contender right now, you want to keep that momentum going.
Yeah.
So if Obsidian's coming to talk about anything, it's got to be Outer Worlds related. I don't see them talking about a new project.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. And, Yeah, because now a lot of the companies, especially publishers now, their focus is they want to keep people within the game or still playing the game, or, you know. So what they do is now they have the content for free, DLC, most of the time. Yep. So
well, think about it. With Outer Worlds being on Game Pass, anything that comes out, I mean, if you subscribe, boom, you got it.
Exactly. Now, you know what I mean? This could be it too. If you're not a subscriber, maybe you have to buy the content. But if you're Xbox Game Pass subscriber, you will get that for free. I think that's a smart move, because now you're
incentive. Yeah.
Yes, but not only that, you're keeping your private division. You're keeping them like happy, not doing, you know. So it works both ways, man. And actually, I was on Twitter, and somebody was like saying like not to support Xbox Game Pass, go buy the game. And someone that works at Obsidian said, no, it's fine. Go buy it. Go use Xbox Game Pass. That help us out too, man. Because I think Private Division is also getting royalties from that too, man. From every time is downloaded from that. Yeah. Because that's how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, again, as a gamer, I mean, you can get into all the politics of supporting and all that. I get why people would say that. Mm-hmm. But you got to remember, Microsoft owns Obsidian now, so they're fine. They're good no matter what. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I mean? So Microsoft is going to support that 100% all the way. They're clearly pushing all their game stuff towards Game Pass. That's why I tell everyone, if you're going to invest into the gaming stuff, obviously, if you're a fan of Xbox, it's a no-brainer to just get it, right? But even if you're not, even if you're a PC gamer, I'm telling you, it's worth it.
Yeah.
In the long run, it's worth it, because Microsoft is clearly showing it. Maybe you wouldn't want to still wait a year or two so they actually prove it. But look at this now with the Outer Worlds. Gears 5 and the Outer Worlds, here in the last 2 months, both are AAA games. You subscribe to Game Pass, you own them. Play as much as you want. Knock yourself out. Two AAA games right off the bat.
I think that's great introduction if you want to play these games. But not only that, Paris, the deal, I think, is still going on. First time subscriber, $1. I think it's still on, right?
They're still doing something. It's not as different than when we jumped in on at E3. It's changed.
Oh, it did?
Because like I said,
I didn't know that.
Because remember the E3 thing, if you had gold and it went like mine went to 2022, I have Game Pass Ultimate now for $1. I have Game Pass Ultimate now until June of 2022.
Same,
which is crazy.
Same here.
But I think now it's $1 for 3 months. Or something like that. It's changed.
You think that was a bug, and they just realized?
No,
crap.
No, it wasn't a bug, because don't you remember? Even at E3, like when Aaron and all them, they were encouraging people to go do it.
Well, that's true.
It was clearly a marketing move, because Aaron and I talked about. Yeah, matter of fact, that's what it was. Aaron and I talked about that at Gamescom when I interviewed him at Gamescom. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a bug. They wanted people to go do that. That was on purpose that they did that.
Now we're part of the service for who knows when. And I actually, like, once it ends, I'm going to renew.
Yeah.
I think it's a great deal, man. So,
dude, by the time I get to June of 2022, I'm going to be so used to having it, I'd be crazy to not keep it.
Yeah.
Might as well keep it at that point.
By the way,
speaking of Xbox, and I know I can hear people typing, all y'all do is talking Xbox. But I have to say this, because now it's officially out and anyone can go get it. Ooh. The Xbox Elite Series 2, I've said it already. I'm just going to double down on it, because now I've had a few weeks with it, real just hands-on. It's not wearing down. There's been no issues with it at all. This is the best control I've ever used.
Wow.
It just is.
How much is it? How much is it?
$179, I think.
See,
$180. Yeah, it's $180.
If you're gonna invest for something like that, and you know it's gonna last a long time, this is it, man. Because look, I purchased the first one, and it still works now. It works now. You could tell it's already a couple years old, but I think it's good. Like it's not perfect, but reading all the reviews saying that this one is way better than the one that I have, way better, and it's gonna last even longer. So I don't mind investing that amount of money to actually buy it. So it's cool.
Yeah, the advice that I've been giving people is simple. Yeah, it's not cheap. It is not. But if you're hardcore into gaming, long gameplay sessions, and you want the best controller you can possibly have, it's worth the investment for that. That's what I've been telling people. I've also been telling people, mm-hmm. if you have the first Elite, the Series 1,
yeah,
and it's still working fine and there's no issues with it, don't go buy the Series 2 just to go buy it. Wait until your Series 1 is no longer functioning, then go out and buy it. That would be my advice to anyone, you know, that wants to invest in these high-end controllers. But trust me, I have Scuff Impact, I have the Astro C40, and I'm forgetting the name of the other Scuff I have. I have a second Scuff as well. I'm forgetting the name. It's not the Vantage. It's one of the older ones. But my point is, I have various high-end game controllers. Series 2 is the best one.
Nice.
I would put the C40 probably second. I actually really like the Astro C40.
Mm-hmm.
But this Series 2 is hands down the best. This Elite Series 2 is the best controller I have.
That's good. That's good, man. Yeah. So, Barris... were you going to say something?
No. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say that, you know, the Video Game Awards is popping up very soon, like the nominees. Do you think they're going to have some controversial Game of the Year games?
I'm sure they will. I mean, they seem to every year. I mean, remember PUBG was considered Game of the Year.
Oh, my God.
Year, so.
Why? That was...
Remember,
I get it. It was a game changer, but not early access, man. You can't really nominate an early.
But there'll be something on there. Let's put it. Let's see. The Outer Worlds will be on there. Death Stranding will be on there. The Outer Wilds is probably going to be on there.
Yeah.
God, what was the other early year game I'm thinking of? I'm forgetting now. But those are three off the top of my head. Do you think Gears 5 makes it?
I think it should, in my opinion, but it's not because.
Yeah, I don't think it will.
I think I'm talking about, like, when it comes to like talent, music, the game overall, just everything. I think it's the mm-hmm. best Gears game that I ever played, hands down. Is that going to be game of the year for like game awards? I don't think so, man. Because I think a lot of the games that outshine this year has been a lot of single player games. Is Control gonna be there? I really doubt it.
That's what I was gonna bring. That was my next one to ask. I say yes, but what do you think?
They're not gonna do it.
You don't think so?
I want the game to be there, Game of the Year, but I don't know if it's going to, man. I just feel like, look at this, another game that I think was really good, but it's not gonna go. There is Astral Chain. That's another good one too. But
yeah, I was gonna ask you about that one too.
I think there's so many games there, man. So what's up?
I think one that has a shot to be there, but it's not out yet, so we don't know. But I think Jedi Fallen Order has a shot.
Ooh, I can't comment. I can't comment until I play the game. So I can't really.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I can't comment until I play it. But I do think from the early. Hands-on, and what people have been saying, it sounds like it's a lot bigger, more in-depth game than we realize, and I think it has a shot, which I would say from the EA standpoint, there would be a huge win for them. Oh, I have a game that's going to be on there. Again, going along with the PUBG controversy, you know what's probably going to make it? That'll be the controversial game. Apex.
Ooh. Apex. Well, hold up. I don't know about Game of the Year, but I think it will be in...
Oh, it would be the shooter category, for sure.
Not the shooter, but what they have that category that's always like for updating games, ongoing games. I can't remember the name of it, but they have...
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll probably be there.
I don't see that as Game of the Year, though. I don't see that. We're talking about the Game Awards, not GTR Best Games of the Year type thing, but...
You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just want to say that.
Speaking on that, to kind of shift away from it really quick and actually into something else I want to talk about.
Yeah.
The Division 2 is no longer in the top 50 games played on Xbox.
I mean, you gotta also I'm not surprised. You also gotta understand that there's so many good games, man. Like
no, but the top 50. No, come on. The game just came out, it ain't been out 9 months. And it's already out of the top 50.
Yeah.
That's not good. that's not good.
It's not good. It's not good. You know what it is? I think that once you've done everything, like, why would you go back? Unless, like,
well,
a new...
Yeah, that's the problem that we've been talking about. That's what I talked with Julian about when we had a conversation, all that stuff. So
yeah.
I get it. But again, it's just another sign of, hey, this game had such an amazing launch and look how far it's fallen in such a short amount of time. And, then, you know, obviously Anthem we didn't have to talk about, but, you know, that's obviously similar. But I bring that up because that brings me to another one, because I want to talk about this on the podcast because I thought this was a really cool thing.
What's up?
Last night with Destiny 2. So there's been a thing in the lore, and I won't bore people too much going into all the lore stuff, other than to say this. Basically, there's a thing in the lore of the original dungeon in Destiny 2 with Shattered Throne, which came out last year. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. There was a lore thing that with Sabathun, if you got to 999 power, which is you're now capable of doing here in this new season of Shadowkeep, and someone grinded out, actually two people did, but this one person grinded it out to get to 999 power. And the lore thing said if you got to 999 power and you were able to solo Shattered Throne, that it would break the curse for the Dreaming City. Hmm. So this person got to 999 power, and actually his name's Bagel4K. So here's the cool thing about it. This is why I love this community and the stuff that happens. Glad, who is a huge streamer. He's one of the top raider people, PvE players in Destiny, right? Very well-known person. He got Bagel4K to come on his stream, and here's the other crazy thing. Bagel4K has never played Shattered Throne. Not only has he never played it, he had to solo it. So he's never played it, and he had to solo to Shattered Throne. So Glad had him on and basically coached him through, walked him through playing Shattered Throne to be able to do this. So I want to say at one point there was like 30,000 people watching this last night, right?
Holy crap, that's a lot. Because
I heard about it. I heard about it on Twitter, and I was like, oh, snap. So I brought it up. I'm sitting there watching it too. Danny, let me tell you, edge of my seat the entire time.
No way.
We didn't know because we're like, is something going to happen? What's going to happen? The lore says 999 power, solo Shattered Throne, you break the curse. So we're thinking, oh, my God, this might be this huge secret event in Destiny that we don't know about, right? So I'm edging my seat. Glad's walking him through. Other dudes on there are helping him. He would screw up a couple times. Everyone's like, oh, no. You know, it was like one of those things, right? Like for an hour, I'm watching this.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he does it. He clears it. And nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Everyone's like, really? What was this about?
We literally got trolled. The entire community got trolled by Bungie. But Bungie did a cool thing. They put a post up on Bungie.net today, and they talked about it. And basically, Sabathun in the lore is known as a liar. He was basically tricking us. So, again, this fits into the lore. But Bagel4K is now forever going to be in the lore of Destiny 2 as being the first person to do this.
Oh, that's right? Cool.
Which
that's
was a cool thing.
Yeah.
Again, this got the whole community together. We all got together last night. People are watching this, rooting this dude on, trying to help him out, hence the whole thing. And even though nothing happened now, I still think something could happen down the road with this. I personally think Bungie turns this into a whole season event. We go back to the Dreaming City, and then we break the curse as a community or whatever. But the fact that this one thing, by word of mouth, got everyone, 30,000 people online last night to root this dude on was freaking cool.
Yeah.
It was really freaking cool. So I just want to put that out there because I know people hear me talking about the game all the time, but this is one of those reasons why I like the game so much, because I still say it is just hands down the best gaming community out there, because everyone wants to root and help each other on, and this was the classic example of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So thought that was a really cool thing. So again, if anybody wants to check it out, you can go to Bungie.net. They got a whole write-up on there about it. It's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, and see, those are the type of content that people are going to go back to the game and still play it and so on. So, you know, if there's no content, people are just going to move on to the next thing, man. Especially now that there's so many competitions.
There's so many freaking games out right now. Like, again, Red Dead is out on PC. I got to figure out how to slide that in, which, by the way,
yeah,
having some major optimization issues on PC right now. A lot of people can't play this game on PC.
Really?
A lot of issues.
Uh-oh.
So So, yeah, I'll sit on the sidelines and wait that one out. I can still wait. I'm not going to try and force myself in. Because as an example, our good friend Tony Polanco, he's been able to play. But he even mentioned he had to go down to 1080p to play it. You know, of course, Hip Hop Gamer, I saw him on there talking about, oh, dog, everything's great. 2080p, I'm playing 4K30. But then Tony brought up the phone. He's like, bro, your 2080Ti can only squeeze 30 frames per second out of this at 4K. There's a problem. And I agree. So I'm going to sit on the sidelines and wait, and hopefully they'll get this thing optimized and fixed, and then I'll jump in and play it on it. Because I want to check out Red Dead and see what all the fuss is about for myself. It's very similar to Death Stranding, obviously. But, yeah, dude, a lot of games, a lot of freaking games. I'm really going to try and see if I can hit my back catalog here between now. Like, I'm going to play Fallen Order. I definitely want to jump in on that.
Yeah, same here. I'm gonna figure out how to get that game.
Yeah, I want to play Fallen Order. I want to figure it, squeeze in Luigi somewhere, play some of my other back catalog games that I need to get to. And really, that should take me up until Cyberpunk in April.
Yep.
By the way, I have to say this because people are all panicked thinking that that game's getting delayed. And I don't know if you're involved in that Twitter thread. This one dude was just convinced it was getting delayed and really couldn't give me a reason why it was getting delayed, other than they're going to hold it for the PlayStation 5, which made no sense. But look, let me just say this. Little Birdie told me it ain't getting delayed. And I trust this little birdie. So there you go, folks. That's the word from the street.
There you go, folks. By the way, before we wrap it up, Harris, Disney Plus in a couple of days, man. You excited?
Oh, very excited. Matter of fact, came out today, Avengers Endgame is going to be their day one now.
Oh, nice.
Because originally it was going to be delayed a month, you know, doing the licensing and the contract and stuff. But I guess Disney's been working with people and figuring it out. So now Endgame is going to be their day one. They worked out a deal like with Stars. I guess they had the rights to like a Force Awakens or something like that. So now the Force Awakens is going to be their day one. Allegedly, they're working with Sony to work out a deal so that the Spider-Man movies can also be on Disney Plus at some point as well. They're doing a thing, man. Hey, I'm excited. Mandalorian, I'm there day one, man. I can't wait.
I'm excited to watch that. And I'm also excited to watch the Gargoyles. The original cartoon.
All the old X-Men cartoons are on.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I can't wait to dive in.
Is there a free trial? Is there going to be a free trial?
Yeah, I think so. I already went ahead and prepaid the first year. So I'm already good because they gave a huge discount if you prepaid up front.
Yeah.
So I think I found a deal where I only spent like $50 for the first year. Something like that.
Damn, that's good, man.
You know, and then I got to figure out because there's going to be that Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus bundle. But I haven't seen any information on it, and I didn't want to wait. I saw that good deal. I was like, screw it. I'll just do it. Because I pay $5 for Hulu now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, do the math on what I just spent now for Disney Plus. I mean, that comes out super cheap. So I don't really care if I have ESPN Plus or not. But as soon as I can figure all that out, I'll just bundle all that. Because I think the bundle on that is $12.99 for all three.
Okay.
Something like that a month. Okay. So, yeah, I'm excited for it. But, yeah, it's good, man. I mean, hey. I love content on Netflix. There's shows on Amazon I watch.
Mm-hmm.
There's gonna be shows on Disney I watch. I'm good. Ironically enough, I don't know if there's enough that's going to be on that HBO Max right away that I'm excited for that. I got to see more information on that.
Yeah. But, I mean, right now, Netflix and Disney Plus are the ones I'm like, okay, this is what I'm talking about. So,
yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, one last thing before we get out of here. So just speaking of shows real quick.
Yeah.
Danny, you gotta check out The Watchmen.
Yes, you told me, and I gotta watch it.
Dude.
It's really good.
Because I slept on it, right? I was like, whatever, The Watchmen. And then, you know, through various means, I have watched the first three episodes now here in like the last couple of days. Oh my God, it's so good. It is really good. And it's a continuation from the original comics from the 80s. So for those who haven't read the comics, if you watch the movies, if you watch the Zack Snyder movies, this is literally a continuation from the movies, but set in 2019 now. So this is like 30 years later in 2019, what happened to all these characters? Where are we at in that universe? It's basically what this is. Now, the comic ending and the movie ending are different, but the concept is still the same. So even if you've only watched the movie, you can still figure out what's going on and know the characters and all that stuff. Dude, really good.
Oh, I got to watch
really,
it.
Really, really good.
Cause I only seen the movie. I've never read the comics. Only
yeah,
the movie.
You'll be fine. Yeah. Okay. You'll be fine. There'll be something in the series that's a little confusing because it wasn't in the movie, but for the most part, it'll make sense to you. You're like, oh, okay, I get what they're doing.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah, it's good.
Well, Paris, just want to say thanks, man. Daily conversation. This was good, right? Good convo.
Conversation. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it was good. It's good, man. So, but thanks, man.
No. All right. Thank you. All right.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right. So that's it. Gamertag Radio episode 979. We're super close hitting 1,000 episodes. I'm working on some stuff. Don't know if it's going to go through, but we'll see. Fingers crossed. Tune in. So, yeah. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back on Monday. Thank you for listening. Until next time. I'm out. Peace.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.